Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. Achieving my long-term goals is more about creating healthy habits and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love both intermittent fasting and daily harvest. Tim Spector, a gut health expert and founder of Zoe, and Dr. B, gastroenterologist and author of Fiberfueled, recommend that you aim for at least 30 unique plant foods per week. Daily Harvest helps make it easy. One of my favorite options is the sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl. With Daily Harvest, I'm getting tons of plant-based options built on organic fruits and vegetables that are easy to prep and free of weird ingredients such as fillers, seed oils, and added sugars. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time only, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 374 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Allison Cochran. Allison lives in Cumming, Georgia, where she is an educational technology coach who taught high school Spanish for 20 years prior to that. Welcome, Allison.
Hi, Jen.
So nice to talk to you today. You know, I love to talk to teachers because we've been talking for like 10 minutes already before we start.
And could probably go on forever with our stories.
It's true. It's true. Even though I didn't teach high school or language, but
I couldn't have done elementary.
I could not have done high school. That's what I always think. They are a whole different animal, literally.
Yes. Goes both ways. Everyone thinks they could not do the opposite. So
it's true. But I, you know, once my kids, my own personal children were high school level, I realized they're just really big babies also.
100%. Yes.
Yeah, they're not as old as I thought they were. Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's true.
Well, you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
So the quick answer is a coworker. You know how teacher workrooms are, and we were in and out all the time and eating lunch and all the ladies talking about, you know, your family's children, weight. And there was a man who teaches social studies here, and I guess he just overheard us and chimed in one day and said, you know, I've been doing this thing called intermittent fasting. My brother is really into weight training and he's like a personal trainer and into health. And he's told me about it. And obviously we had seen this guy like shrink. Like he was a lot smaller than he had been. That was in 2018, fall of 2018. And so I kind of filed it away, started thinking about it, started listening to your podcast. Or no, I wasn't listening to the podcast yet. I think I read your book. Anyways, I was thinking about it. And then in January of 2019, Rebecca Vespros, I guess I can't say her last name usually, but I know Rebecca.
Look, you're going to have to tell her. Look what I'm drinking. I'm drinking Kroger seltzer water. And so for anybody who doesn't know, on that episode of Intermittent Fasting Stories, she brought me Kroger seltzer water. I've never had it before. I am drinking it still. It's my favorite.
Awesome. Please, you did tell that episode her that. In person?
No. I met her. Oh, I didn't tell the whole story. We did not do the episode in person, but I met her later. She took photos of me in Atlanta. In fact, the photo that's on the jacket of Fast, Feast, Repeat, she took that photo.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, awesome. She has photo cred right on the back of the jacket. If you turn it sideways, you can see her name. But to the photo shoot, she brought this. So when you see her, tell her I am drinking Kroger seltzer water to this day. It was thanks to her. Anyway, I got really excited.
I remember
that.
See,
this is how people in the South are when they find out they know the same person. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, and that was only episode 10. So that was early on. But I remember listening, and what she had to say just resonated so much, especially the part where she was like, I was taking a picture with my husband and I was feeling so cute. And then I see this picture of myself and I was like, wait a second. Yeah. And I think that's how I have been feeling at the time. So, like I said, this is 2019. And anyways, from that, so January 4th, I found an email I sent to a good friend of mine letting her know I am starting this thing called intermittent fasting. I was like, have you heard of it? And I'm just telling you for accountability purposes that I'm going to start. Today is my first day of no food or nothing till except black coffee until noon. So I started that day. And
look, this episode comes out almost to the day of your 5-year fastiversary.
Wow.
This episode comes out January 2nd of 2024. And you started 5 years ago.
Amazing.
That is amazing.
That is. And I'm here today. I wanted to tell my story only because it's not necessarily a story of quick and dramatic weight loss all at once. Like a lot of the stories are, I wanted it to be that.
Right.
But it's been kind of a winding path. Mm-hmm. And I still think that, like you always say, everybody's story is valuable. And if it can help one person, then I wanted to tell it, even though it's pretty vulnerable to get on here and say, you know, all of the things.
Well, I love that, you know, and part of keeping it real on the podcast is telling the ones where people are like, yeah, I started and I lost 120 pounds and it just fell right off. You know, there are stories like that, but then there are the stories where that is not how it went. But the key that's already inspiring about your story is it's been 5 years and you're still doing it.
Yes.
How many diets that you started in the past? I mean, intermittent fasting is not a diet. It's not about what you eat, although what you eat, you know, we do care about what we eat when we're eating, but it's about when you eat. So that's why it's not a diet. But how many things that you did in the past did you stick with for 5 years plus?
Right, exactly. None of them. And I just, I honestly in my life didn't ever diet, I wouldn't say. I was a really small girl all the way until high school. I remember weighing like 93 pounds in ninth grade. I mean, I was a little person because I'm short. I'm only 5'3". But when I quit cheerleading in my JV year, I guess it was 10th grade, and I really started to develop more as a woman, I remember thinking 111 pounds was just huge. You know, it just,
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Cause you're little bitty, this little bitty thing. You're like over 100 now. Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And then, you know, also having in my family, I had two older sisters, a younger brother. My mother was growing up in a culture of the 70s, 80s, right? So all of the diets, I mean, I think at our house, we had the diets going on, like the cabbage soup diet. My sister, I remember one time her trying this beet diet. It was a 3-day lose 10 pounds in 3 days or something.
She was because it was so gross that you didn't want to eat anything.
It was horrible. And I remember, I think I was like in middle school and she was in high school and I would just sit there and crack up at her trying to choke down these nasty foods. And then, so in high school, when I started to feel quote unquote big, I remember even my best friend and I would sneak and like buy Dexatrim, you know, at the Revco because we thought, well, we'll just, you know, take this, but we felt guilty because like our mom surely wouldn't want us taking diet pills.
Right. But it came from the Revco. So it was safe.
It was totally fine. Yeah. But that lasted like 2 times because I did not like the way it made me feel. So
jittery.
I did not. Yeah. So it didn't work. And honestly, I think I've always secretly been a foodie in my heart. I just love to eat and be with friends. So I didn't really diet and I did continue to gain some weight. And then through college, of course, freshman 15 came on. And, you know, I look back at those pictures and I think I was not overweight like fat, but I definitely was just puffy and
yeah.
inflammation, probably just eating junk food,
it
right?
Was like junk.
Fast food. It was Papa John's at 2 a.m. It was
nothing but junk. Whether our college right. cafeteria, the food was not amazing. And also the beer. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it was just nothing was healthy, really.
No.
One year we did decide to go to the gym every night after we ate dinner and work out, this group of girls and I, before spring break. So yeah. like we could get in shape, you know. And I think I was feeling pretty good that year. But anyway, so just to say that all along the way, I guess diets were in my life and around mm-hmm. me. You know, the fat-free era was late 90s when I graduated high school. And so I was eating the Snackwells and doing, right?
Yeah.
And even in college, when I was, like I said, eating and having fun with my friend, I did always feel guilty inside about eating, mm-hmm. you know, bad foods, quote unquote, and that I would get fat is what my thoughts were. But also, I just, like I said, enjoyed food and friends too much to really care. So into my 20s, I started teaching when I was only 21. And I remember that first year, I decided to go to Weight Watchers because I think I was up to like 140. And again, I'm 5'3", so that felt pretty heavy. And so I went to Weight Watchers immediately. Did not like that. I did not want to count things. I did not want to weigh in every week and, you know, be in front of people. And also, I mean, I was 21. Like a lot of the ladies, they were a lot older than me, so I couldn't really relate to their life story. So that didn't last. Mm-hmm. And then about that time, I made a really good friend who just really taught me to love myself the way I am. Just like, if you like it, if you wear it and you feel good, that's all that matters.
That's the best friend ever. The kind of friend that helps you love yourself.
She did. Like before her, I would never wear tank tops. I was worried about my arms. Mm-hmm. And she was always like, what are you talking about? Like, if you like it, wear it. Like, it looks great, you know? And she just helped me change my mindset, which was fabulous. So that helped for a few years. Then I moved to California in 2004. To go get my master's in seminary out in Pasadena. And I moved by myself, didn't know anybody, just packed up my car. I was 25 years old, 26 maybe.
So you got a master's in what was that?
Theology.
Okay. I thought that's what you said. I thought you said seminary. Yes. I'm like, yeah, that was a detour.
I know. I just keep saying I can't decide what I'm going to be when I grow up because now I have my specialist in technology. So, right. you know, we've got Spanish anyways. So yeah, I moved across the country and out there just, oh gosh, California just felt like home. It's so beautiful. You know, the weather in Southern California. Sunny and 70 every day. I lived 1 mile from the Rose Bowl. So I would go there and it was 3 miles, I believe, around the stadium. And, you know, just people always run walking. So I would just go every single day and knock out 3 to 6 miles. And so I just got in great shape. And at the time, though, I did, I was going through a depression.
Okay.
So I think that also contributed though, because I'm opposite of a lot of girls that like the stories they say in movies, like girls eat, you know, gallons of ice cream when they get sad or something. I'm not, I turn away from food. So if any time in my life that I was smaller is because I was not, you know, doing well emotionally or mentally. Mm-hmm. So I say that to say in California, yes, I was feeling good and the weather and getting more exercise, but I wasn't doing great emotionally. So I think I was definitely losing weight then.
Was your family from back east? Like, were you?
Yes, everyone. Okay. Yes.
Because okay, are you from Georgia?
I'm from Georgia, yes. Born okay. and raised. And honestly, no one in my family speaks another language. They're not educators. Like, I'm just like totally out of the out of the box. So all that to say, I ended up getting help, thankfully. When I flew home, though, for one of my holidays, I went to the doctor for my physical, like normal. And he just said, gosh, this is the best shape I've ever seen you in. And I remember I weighed 126. I was like, oh, I hadn't weighed myself in so long. I just stopped, you know, after college. I was like, I just don't look. I just don't know, you know. But it was funny that he said I was in the best shape. So physically, I was in great shape. But like I said,
emotionally
I was not doing great. So anyways, I continued on, got therapy and got a ton better. Thankfully. And yes, and with the help of medicine and psychotherapy, it was great. So I stayed healthy. I ended up moving back to Georgia in 2006 and got my own place in Atlanta. And I just continued teaching. I went back to teaching and it's funny. I look back and I was like, so my condo was on Peachtree Street and across the street, there was a Panera and I would go to the Panera every single morning. That was when a bagel was like, with tax, I think it was exactly a dollar.
Wow.
So I know. So I would go in and Sweet Mary, this lady that worked there, she knew my order and she'd just look at me, walk in the door and be like, I got you. And she would have me my bagel toasted with butter. I didn't eat cream cheese at the time. But so every day for like a dollar, I would just eat my bagel. And I just laugh going, if I ate a bagel every day now, I would just, that's just not the healthiest, I don't think. But
I used to, on my way to work back in the low fat days, mm-hmm. I would drive through McDonald's drive through on the way to teaching, and they had fat free apple muffins. Mm. And I would order two fat free apple muffins and a Coke, a real Coke, because Coke is fat free. That course. Was my breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Like,
what in the world? But so, that's what I would do. I don't know. Crazy time. Yeah.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study.
That's funny. So yes, I would sometimes go through McDonald's. I just ate what I want, I guess is why I'm saying all mm-hmm. of this. Like I would take to lunch, you know, whatever probably I had for dinner the night before, come home from work, you know, usually just make myself something, I don't know,
right.
Drink a glass of wine usually. So with, you know, I just had a little dog, take her for a walk sometimes. But in all those years, until I didn't get married until 2012, the summer I was turning 35. So I was, you know, late to get married. But all of those years in my early 30s, I still stayed, you know, the same. I really think when I got married, I weighed right at like 130.
Okay.
But eating like I did, like I said, I was never a big exerciser. So again, I preface my story now with all of this just to say I hadn't really had to worry about it for many years. Mm-hmm. And then when I got married, and then the happy weight came right. on a little bit. I remember seeing the doctor the first year of marriage, and I was 135, and I was like, oh no. And I asked her, do I need to lose weight? And she said, well, I mean, you could probably lose 5 pounds, but you're probably going to get pregnant soon, because, you know, she knew we wanted to have kids. And she was like, you need to start sooner than later, because you're 35. So she was like, so I wouldn't worry about it. It's like, okay. So as it turned out, I did end up having my son in 2014, and I gained 30 pounds in that pregnancy, and I had a really rough delivery and C-section, ended in C-section, you know, and stayed several days in the hospital. So that just did a number on my body.
Right.
And I believe people when they say they're saying now that like it takes 2 years to recover from the birth of a child, pretty much a woman's body.
Oh yeah. And you know, people just do not quite give themselves time to appreciate, because they're so, mm-hmm. even if you didn't have a C-section. You know, C-section is sure. obviously much more traumatic for your body, but even a regular birth, yes. we have things went on inside of there that
it's crazy.
It is crazy.
Yes. And being, you know, like I said, later in my 30s too.
Yeah.
I think it makes a difference. I'm not 26, I'm 36. So,
right.
Anyways, I mean, this is so silly too. I hate to even admit this, but I didn't really enjoy breastfeeding. And at the time I wasn't hungry. I will say this, I've never really been like an overeater. Mm-hmm. And everybody talked about how hungry you are when you're breastfeeding and that would like burn all these calories and do all. So I was looking forward to it.
Right.
But then it wasn't working out that way. And I really wasn't that hungry. So I don't think I was eating enough to produce. And it was just kind of it wasn't great. So I had to tough it out either. For like,
so okay. No guilt. I didn't enjoy it either with Cal. He was 5 weeks early. Mm-hmm. And so he couldn't latch on. Yeah. And it was very traumatic for me because I was like, of course we're going to breastfeed. And then the nurse was like, no, give him some formula. I'm like, what? And so, crying. I gave him the formula and he was happy. I'm like, oh.
Yes.
But you know, we feel like such a failure because we had in our minds, breastfeeding is the best. It's natural. Mm-hmm. So and a fed baby is better than not a fed baby, right?
Absolutely. But I'd already felt like my body failed by not doing the natural birth I had planned for. And then the breastfeeding, you know, so I was a whole mess.
So many ways we hold ourselves responsible for something not being perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm very much a perfectionist.
I get it.
Teachers are.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I know everyone around me would have been like, give yourself a break. They, you know, even now say that, but it's just hard for me to do that. Mm-hmm. So the lowest I got back down to, and I tell the numbers, even though it's hard for me to say them out loud and admit it, but I know that people are interested when they listen because that's how I feel when I listen to the episode.
Right.
So even after having my son, the lowest I saw was like 151, mm-hmm. which I felt discouraged by. But then I got pregnant when he was only, I think, 15, 16 months old. We weren't trying necessarily, but I got pregnant again, but ended up miscarrying at 9 weeks.
Oh, sorry about that.
Thank you. It was tough, but you know, that again does something to your body because, you know, you've done this and done this for 9 weeks and now your body's prepped and then it's not. And so that was another kind of stress on my body. And we got through that and then ended up getting pregnant again that next spring with my daughter, which was a huge blessing. Actually, I found out I was pregnant with her on what would have been the due date of the other baby.
Oh, you like to think that's like a special God wink, right?
I do. I do feel like it was. So that was really neat. So that was 2016. And also I had gotten accepted to grad school. yes, I decided to apply for grad school in the midst of this. So that's I have a toddler. Yeah. I'm pregnant and why not go back
to school?
That
sounds like what I would do.
My friend was like, are you crazy? And I said, well, I mean, there's no time like the present, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I had my doubts, but some good friends of mine really encouraged me and they were like, look, we're here for you to support you. If you have to defer in the end, it's too much. That's fine. But you can at least start because you're accepted. And you know, the baby's not coming for 9 months. You get a whole like two semesters pretty much under you. So I did start grad school to get my specialist in instructional technology and then had my daughter in December of 2016. And so then I had gained like 40 pounds with her. You know, they say you gain like 10 more with each pregnancy. That was absolutely true for me. I was like 30, then 40. And I had pretty bad, I didn't realize it at the time, but I had pretty bad postpartum depression with her for a bit. And it just took me a minute to recognize it. Because I had been so healthy, you know, ever since my California days and getting my treatment, and, you know, and health, I just didn't ever think it would kind of quote unquote come back.
Right.
But, you know, as my therapist says, if you have major depressive disorder, you have seasonal affective disorder, they're not really curable. It's, they're probably always going to be there, but manage them. It's a part of who you are. And so I wish I had been maybe more aware, but whatever. So I, ended up getting back on some meds and help with that, which was great. And let's see. So then around that time is when I guess Joe, when my daughter was about a year, that's when he mentioned the intermittent fasting.
Love
so
it.
Kind of brought us back full circle there. And like I said, I was losing, but not quickly. I would say I'm a turtle. You know, if you've heard people say that.
Yeah.
And because from like January to maybe I don't know, March or April of that year, I think I only lost like 13 pounds, which I don't think is terrible.
That's actually, I'm like, look at that. I would not
normal.
I would not call, okay, the first 28 days, for everybody who's listening, this is the first episode of 2024, so I would expect we would have some newbies listening. But your first 28 days, we call that the 28-day fast start. We don't expect to lose anything because your body's just adjusting. And then after that, about a pound a week. So if you don't lose anything in the first 28 days, that doesn't make you a turtle. That's normal. And if you lose about a pound a week from week to week, that is also not turtle. It's just that we're so used to like the Biggest Loser competition, or they get on the scale and they've lost 25 pounds or something, or the magazines at the checkout that tell us, you know, lose, you know, whatever by whatever day, 30 pounds by Valentine's Day. You're not going to do that. So I actually think that was probably right at a pound a week after the fast start.
Yeah, probably so, looking back. And that guy, when he saw me, I remember I walked in the workroom one day and he said, "Oh, it's the incredible shrinking woman."
See?
You know, he just could tell.
You
could
see it. Yeah.
Made me laugh. Everybody else could see it. It's just hard for me to see it also. Like I've said, I'm hard on myself. So it's like, I want to be, you know, overachiever. But so that was led me to spring of 2019. And then everything kind of came to a screeching halt. I had decided at the time, I was like, I can just like go off birth control now. We're not going to have any more kids. And my husband had been fixed. So I was like, I don't want to be on the hormones, you know, all the things. Maybe that's contributing to my weight loss stall or whatever.
Right.
And so I just quit that. And then I started to feel terrible. I didn't feel good. And unfortunately, I blamed the fasting. Because at that point I was fasting longer than I ever had, like 18, 19 hours before I had been doing like 16, 17. And I just thought this black coffee is upsetting my stomach in the morning and I'm just not feeling good. Maybe I need to eat more. So I kind of also stopped fasting at the time.
Okay.
So this is like summer of 2019 and then I'm having hot flashes and just, I mean, couldn't sleep at night. I mean, all the things you hear about.
Right.
So I go to my doctor and I'm like, what is going on? So I'm only 41.
Right.
So menopause was not on my radar. I'm just thinking, oh no, I've screwed up my body somehow. She's not happy. Let's help. So he takes all my blood work and calls me back and is like, you are in menopause. Like definitely.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And he said, I can't explain it. This is like the 2% of women that this happens to very early. He said, yeah, I mean, he didn't have any reason. Cause I was like, okay, well, that's fine with me. He was like, I'm so sorry. Did you want to have more children? I was like, no, we're good. So, I just want to put that in there as well to say that might fit somebody's story as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something you hear about a lot.
No, it isn't. Cause the average age of menopause is 51. Mm-hmm. So 41 is very early.
Yes, it is. And so I got back on the birth control just for the hormones and immediately felt better immediately. So then that made me realize, oh, it wasn't the fasting that was making me feel bad. And it had nothing to do with the black coffee. That was just
hormones, man. They're powerful.
Right. And I was just trying to come up with reasons why I wasn't feeling good. So anyways, kept going with it, got back into it. Famous last words were at Christmas of one of those years when I first started, you know, if this one tablespoon of coffee creamer is causing me to not feel good, you know, not to lose weight, then I just too bad. Cause you know, that was my comfort thing. But as soon as I dropped all the creamer again, I felt 100% better.
Yeah. I know. I wish we could just have a tablespoon of creamer, right?
Right, but I don't now because
now we don't. Yeah.
This is what no one believes. I tell people I genuinely enjoy black coffee as much as I looked forward to that creamy cup. And in fact, a couple of weeks ago, I decided my window was open. I was like, I'm going to make a pumpkin pie, you know, spice one that I'm used to make at home sometimes when I like, and I was like, oh, I have real whipped cream. I have real whipping cream and stuff. I'll just make it. I took two sips and I poured it out.
Yeah.
It just did not taste good. I did not want it. And my husband's like, what are you doing? I said, I just have to make a cup of black coffee.
It's so funny when that happens. I was just on an airplane flying back from Arizona and my window was open and, you know, they were bringing stuff around and I was like, I'll have a cup of coffee. And my window was open. So I thought about putting cream and sugar in it. And I'm like, no, I don't want it. I just had a black.
Yes. It's delicious.
Yeah.
No one believes you. But once you've changed, it's wonderful.
It's hard. Yeah, exactly. So you dropped the cream and the creamer, I should say, and you found out that it made a difference.
Well, I'll say the biggest difference too, if anyone can relate, is I was having that 2 o'clock slump
yeah,
in the day where you just, I just wanted to like fall asleep at my desk. It was unreal to me because I'm like, I'm doing the things I've always done. I'm not eating differently, you know, but why am I so very tired in the afternoon? And when I dropped the creamer and the coffee, and even now I have noticed if I do, you know, just have a longer window or open early and I have a, something sugary in the morning,
yeah,
I have that crash later in the day.
Yep.
And I love knowing that now because I just try not to do it, you know, unless it's something really delicious and window worthy. But once I quit the cream and the coffee, I felt so much better all in the afternoon. So
that really is amazing. For anybody who's new and listening, you might be struggling with the black coffee because that is like the most common struggle that people have. It's that emotional connection to the creamy coffee. And then there's just something soothing about that creaminess when you're used to it. I don't, it's like your little baby blankie. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just your little security, right? It feels
it's cozy. Fun, I think. Yeah, I think it's fun. The flavors.
It might light also, up your brain in some way. I don't know.
Exactly. I also think I kept telling myself, well, I drank, because my thing was the hazelnut flavor of coffee make. And I was like, well, I drank this all in my 20s and early 30s, like with no problem. You know, I didn't get away like this. So it's not the coffee creamer. I just like kept wanting my body to be the same. And she's like, yeah, we've walked a mile or two since then. Like, just a little different.
Yeah.
And so that was a good change. So yes, yeah, so got back into fasting, full on clean fast, really had joined and had been listening to your podcast and the one you were on with Melanie Avalon.
Right.
And learned a ton about, thankfully you guys talked about getting your blood tests done with different, like the fasting insulin.
Yep.
And leptin and ferritin and reverse T3 and all these things. So I wrote it down. I got my fasted insulin first time in 2020, summer of 2020, and it was 6.9. So I was glad that it was under 10, like you've talked about, but
right,
ideally I know 5 or lower.
Yeah.
And so over the years I've gone back. And so last summer it was 5.1.
Awesome.
It's getting there. But yeah, then this past summer, I don't know, it was so crazy. I went and it was 8.3. One morning.
Did you drink coffee before that, before you had it?
I did. And
see, that can make a difference. And you, did you hear me talk about, I don't know if I've said it on this podcast or if I just said it on Fast, Feast, Repeat that I'm on with Sherry, but I had a fasting insulin done in maybe January of 2023. So about a year ago from the time this podcast comes out. And I wasn't, it was a new doctor's office. I wasn't expecting that they were going to be doing blood work. So I had coffee and I also used peppermint wow drops. And my fasting insulin came back 10.
Oh gosh.
And I'm like, okay, wow drops, the peppermint wow drops, that's got to be it. Cause other, you know, my fasting insulin had already always been below 5, or even when I was, you know, before I started hormone replacement therapy, it was like 5 point something. Mm-hmm. So I have not used wow drops during my fast since that day. So.
Right. I was very upset, but I was just like, what have I done? Because, you know, well, it's never been that high.
And here's the thing about that. I'm wearing a CGM again right now. I'm doing some experimenting with foods just to see what happens. And my blood sugar, it goes up and down throughout the morning. Mm-hmm. Like when I get up in the morning and, you know, first my feet hit the floor, I've got a certain blood sugar from when I was asleep. And then after I move around, my body pumps out a little bit of glycogen, you know, and it blood sugar goes up. When I have that first cup of coffee, I can see my blood sugar go up, you know, 10 points, 15 points, just from liver dumping the glycogen, and it's normal. And so I think insulin also varies within a range, just like our blood sugar is always, our body's always keeping that blood sugar up and down, up and down, up and down, even while we're fasting. The same thing is probably true with insulin. There's always that baseline amount. So I don't know how much is a normal variation. We don't have a continuous insulin monitor. Boy, do I wish we did.
I know. And it's just shocking to me, as you've said many times on the podcast, why doctors aren't talking about this factor more when it comes to obesity and weight loss.
They don't know.
It's so
the ones who aren't talking about it don't know.
It's true. Yeah. Because like you said, I had to ask my doctor for the test. And at first she was like, oh, like we're going to run your A1C, your glucose. And I was like, no, I want my fasted insulin. And she's like, oh, what? She said, most people don't ask for that. And I said, I know. I was like, but I want to. And she goes, she asked me why. I said, well, I've been doing intermittent fasting. And actually she said, oh, I've just been hearing about that in a mom's group that she was in. And she said, I do believe it's very good for your body. And I was good. Like, great. So luckily I had a doctor that's, you know, on board.
I love that. Yes. And you taught her something about insulin that, you know, that's something to maybe look at. But right. For anybody who's listening, if you are going to get your fasting insulin done, do not drink coffee before you go. Just wait exactly. Till after you're done, because you don't want any, you know, variables added to the mix.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I will say, I said that also about the numbers to say that, I got COVID in January of 2021. And I got long COVID.
Oh no.
We didn't really know it at the time that's what it was, but yeah. I mean, and at that time it was pretty new. I did the full 10-day like quarantine for my family, stayed in the room, about went crazy. My sweet husband took care of the kids and delivered every meal to the door. I mean, we followed it, you know, to a T, but, that did a number on my body. Afterwards.
Let me ask you this. Did you experience significant weight regain after that COVID?
Well, I didn't think about it, but I mean, not significant, but my weight went right back up from anything I had lost.
See, we are seeing that. Sherry and I talk about a lot of things behind the scenes, and she hasn't, I don't think, really talked publicly much about her struggle after she had COVID. Her weight just went whoop up.
Oh, okay.
And she has been fighting with that. Now it's going back down. It's taken a long time for her body to heal. And so, you know, we're reading anytime we can find a journal article or people talking about COVID and the long-term effects, it is doing something.
For sure.
That affects weight for some people.
Right. Because, I mean, when I was in that room for 10 days, obviously I was eating, not, I wouldn't say more than before, but I was eating 3 meals because I was taking these medications. They had me on a steroid and some other things. And, but I was trapped in my room. Now I did do some yoga and stuff, but I wasn't obviously able to go out and do much. And when I came out of quarantine, I had lost like 7 pounds, obviously not 7 pounds of fat as we know, but I was down, which was interesting to me, but I had lost my taste and smell, which made me think maybe just less insulin release. Cause I wasn't tasting or smelling any food. I was just putting food in my body. I don't know. How that works exactly, but that was strange. But then yes, afterwards, my weight did start creeping back up. You're right. So that's interesting you point that out, because I was
there's a forum that I found. I was searching for this is a while back, and there's a forum where people are telling their stories of like big, large amounts of weight gain after COVID. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So it, you know, what could it be? Is it inflammation? Is it something with the gut? Sherry found something that she shared with us last week. I can't remember. I wouldn't be able to put my hands on it, but it had to do with like people have worse insulin resistance or something after COVID. I don't know. Something that spike protein is doing.
Yeah.
And I think we'll probably understand it more as time goes on.
For sure. I think so. My main long symptom was just extreme fatigue. I was sleeping 10 hours a night and still just having to lay down at work, sometimes go down to the clinic and tell the nurse, I need to just lay down. I cannot sit up anymore. I mean, some days I would go outside because I would think maybe I just need some sunlight. You know, that'll give me energy. No, it would just make me more sleepy. Exercise made me tired. It's supposed to energize you.
Like, I wonder if it's doing something to your like mitochondria. Something, your cellular power plant of your cells.
Yes. And I was seeing my doctor every 3 to 6 months, testing my blood again. I was definitely not holding on to any B12. It was always low. And just, they tried the Myers cocktails on me, you know, where they inject you with the vitamins, you know, a bunch of this, you know, hoping to help that with my energy levels. Didn't really make a difference. We tried B12 supplements. What else did I write down that I tried? Find it. But we just were trying everything. Cause I said, I am only, you know, what was that? 42, 43. I should not feel this tired all the time. Now I know I have 2 small children and I work full time, but like still, this is not, you know,
and you were feeling great before that. You were feeling energetic. So this was clearly something different.
So it was extreme fatigue. I was very frustrated. And then my weight, like you said, kept going up. It went all the way back up. I think it was like, my high was probably like 168. In 2021 after COVID. So in September of 2021, my doctor mentioned phentermine.
Ah.
So, and like you said, since a doctor mentioned it, I thought, well, I mean, surely I should try it. Like, you know, she's obviously looking at me thinking, I mean, I'm overweight for my height. That's for sure. And I'm frustrated because I was still fasting all this time, maybe not as consistently, but I never did a fast less than really 14 or 16 hours still. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I was never really an overeater. I'm the person who can eat like half an Oreo and throw it away because like I just want a little taste of it. I don't ever like binge eat sweets and stuff or late at night. So I decided I would give it a try. So I did, but I would only take half of the pill every day because I was just determined not to be on a diet drug, right? So right. I was like, I'm going to take half of the pill.
I'm just almost on a diet drug.
Yes, I'm just trying it. I'm not going to, and like, I'm still going to intermittent fast. So like, maybe the combination will be just right is what I was thinking, honestly. I had gone to a naturopath, I should mention that too, before that to like, you know, try and clear my body of all of the toxins and things that I thought was maybe blocking the weight loss. Anyways, so even with the phentermine, I could take a nap during the day.
Oh my gosh.
And my doctor was like, if you can take a nap on phentermine, there is like something.
Something really is wrong. Like, yeah, because yes. It's speed. I would take it. This is a long time, way before intermittent fasting, mm-hmm. 10 years before I did intermittent fasting, but I would take it. And I remember it washed over my brain. Like, I can remember the feeling of like, woo. And then I was like unstoppable, right?
Oh. Now it did make me, I do remember it made my mood like happier. I remember being very happy and very thankful for everything. And like, just, it lightened me up a bit, but I'd always been on like those last several years, antidepressant anyway. So it didn't feel like extreme. I felt good, but I was still tired. I could still take a nap if I wanted to. So I did that for, I guess, about 9 months, and I did lose but still in a year, Jen, I still only lost 16 pounds, I think, from the time I started it till then. So that was still not a lot of weight loss. So then I was just like, well, you can't keep taking this obviously forever.
No. Mm-hmm.
I knew I didn't want to keep taking it and it wasn't really giving me huge results. I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stop everything. Honestly, I just got frustrated. I stopped listening to the podcast because I can't even stand to hear other people's success stories.
I get it.
It was bad. I felt really like, I know we always say our bodies are not broken, but she felt broken to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it made me sad because I thought I'm trying to do the right things and I've tried all these things. And then the other part of me is just wanting to feel happy and accepting of myself because I have a great life and I'm happy with my family, my job, right? If the weight is the only thing really lingering in my brain, I was just like, this is silly. Like, you've got to let this go.
Right.
And my husband and I have had many talks about the cultural pressure on women to look a certain way, right? And have a certain body. But I do go back to what you often say, which is that if you don't feel good in your body, if it doesn't feel comfortable, then it does matter. It's mm-hmm. not really about the number, but if
exactly
right. But if I don't feel good and, you know, it's concerning to me, then it does matter. So, anyway, that's where, so I started, you know, I was like, I'm just going to like take a break from everything thinking of, I'm going to try to love myself the way I am and do all the things. And that was for the remainder of 2022. Going into 23, I did pick back up pretty much on a fasting schedule. But I was still just doing like basically from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. But I wouldn't eat the whole time. I say I pull a Chad sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I can eat at like 10. I can have something. I am a breakfast person. Unfortunately, I love breakfast food. I do like to eat earlier. But I could eat at 10 and then not eat again till 5. Like, I don't, I'm not a snacker. So sometimes it's like one little meal and then a long break and then dinner, which I know isn't technically intermittent fasting, but
it's one long window. That's what it's a Chad fast. You're Chad fast.
Yeah, I mean, it felt good, you know? So I will say,
but that's like 8 hours. It's like a 16.
Right. It was still 8. It was right. But I just don't eat for 8 hours. Within the 8 hours, I would just eat.
You're not eating constantly for 8 hours.
Right.
It's technically maybe like 16.
Two total hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. But so, from when you open to when you close, that's the fed state, but you're not eating constantly. So I would think that 16-8 with a meal on each end, like the way Chad does it, is probably better for your body metabolically than 16-8 where you're eating all the way through. I mean, clearly. So
support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
Say goodbye to performance-robbing engine deposits with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Hate to break it to you, but lower-grade fuel can leave deposits in your engine that build up over time and leave your engine's performance severely lacking. Thankfully, Shell V-Power Nitro Plus removes up to 100% of performance-robbing deposits with continuous use in gasoline direct injection engine fuel injectors. Download the Shell app today to find your nearest Shell station and rejuvenate your engine with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Fuel up at Shell.
Right. So, and that wasn't every day. You know, some days I have found that if I stop eating around 2 o'clock or 3, or even earlier sometimes, like if I do a big lunch on Sundays after church, we used to just go out for Mexican and have a big lunch, then I was done for the day.
Yeah.
And I would feel great. And then that would, I would see the scale move a little bit if I stopped earlier in the day. But as you know, being a working mother and, you know, just having friends wanting to go to happy hour after work, it's hard sometimes to end at 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. and then not do anything the whole. And plus going to bed a little bit hungry, sometimes it's hard to sleep. So all that to say, I think my body likes an earlier window, but I try to make it be a little bit later. Not too late, though. I don't like to eat late at night. So fast forward to this past May and went to the beach for Mother's Day with some girlfriends. That's what we do. One of our friends has a condo and we like to get away.
What beach do y'all like to go to?
It's Okaloosa Island. It's in Fort Walton.
Yeah, everybody in Atlanta goes that direction to the beach, to the Gulf.
It's true.
That is not the beach to me.
I but need it's to check true. Out your beach.
It's so nice over here on the Atlantic. Yeah.
I bet it is. So we go there and I was drinking my black coffee and of course I was, like I said, I was right back into my routine and my friend there, she said, "Don't you want to put this yummy, you know, coconut creamer she bought, you know," she's like, "I love this in my coffee." And I was like, "No, I just drink it black." She's like, "I could never do that, you know." And then we got talking why I do it fasting, right? And it was great because she said, "You know, I've been seeking out ways to maybe lose weight and I keep hearing fasting in my head." Mm-hmm. And now you've said this. So she's like, "I'm thinking this is something I need to listen to." I said, "Oh my gosh, I have the book for you. I'm going to have it sent to your house from Amazon from the beach. I ordered Delay, Don't Deny, and sent it to her." And so when she got home, she read it. She started, she was like, "I'm starting this now." Like, you know, and so I'll say since June, when she started, we've decided to kind of hold each other accountable. And that's been great. We've been able to text each other. She's lost like 22 pounds.
Hooray.
I know. So she'll be on this podcast one day, I'm sure. And mine still wasn't moving. And I was in August, I was getting super discouraged. Still like, I'm doing this. I still see zero results. But Jen, September 21st, for some reason, the scale moved finally.
Hooray.
I know, not a lot, but it moved. And so now it's kind of steadily been going down a little bit at a time, tiny bits. And this morning it was 157.8.
All right. I'm so glad it's going down. And, you know, that's like I hinted at, Sherry was just stuck. Her weight popped up and she really thinks it was COVID. Because that's when she has like her graph, her whole weight graph, and she never quit fasting. But her weight graph, I'm sure she'll talk about it one day on the Fast Feast Repeat podcast. But her weight graph, it went up steadily. And then it was stuck. And now it's steadily coming down again. But it's like something had to heal.
Right. And I kept thinking that. I was like, my body knows what to do. I have to trust, you know, that she'll let go of the weight when it's time. I didn't know when that would be.
I wish we knew what was going on with this. I wish we could explain it, but we can't.
I agree. And so I just keep going. So I'm here to say that Again, it's not a huge weight loss story, but it's more of a just a journey. And it did, I will say, it cleared up my plantar fasciitis. My knee, I have arthritis under my knee caps, and I've had it since the early 20s from my old cheerleading days, I think. But it used to get a lot of pain and swelling around my knees. Haven't had that in a long time. Obviously, I sleep wonderfully. I sailed through menopause, I feel like, because of it. I had just like that 1 month of the hot flashes and stuff when found out that's what was happening. Took the hormones and kept fasting and feel fine. You know, it's that look back. Even a friend, she said, "You've already gone through menopause, but you don't weigh 300 pounds.
What? That's not what has to happen.
A lot of people feel that way though. You know, like you're just going to gain all this weight. And I know what she meant.
Right.
And so I was like, no, I don't, because I intermittent fast. I really think that's the reason. I mean, that's what I would say to everybody is, even though I wasn't losing weight, I wasn't gaining anymore. At that one point, I was just staying the same. Now, I didn't like that set point. It was too high for my height. At least I wasn't gaining, right? At least I wasn't putting on more. So that was good. And so that's why I do it. I do it because I still feel better. Oh, I have an autoimmune disease and it's laying dormant since I have been fasting these last several years, which is great. No flare-ups are good.
That's awesome.
It is. So I continue to do it for health reasons.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important. You know, we come for the weight loss and sometimes the weight loss doesn't happen like we expected it was going to. The road is bumpier. The journey is twists and turns we didn't expect. But we know that we feel better than we did before. We know that. And we know that things improve, like your plantar fasciitis, the pain in your knees, your sleep, all those things got better, your autoimmune condition, no more flares there. So we can put our finger on all those things. And it would be so nice if we like could see the future if we had not done intermittent fasting and compare the two. But unfortunately, we can't. Right. You know, like if I had not done intermittent fasting, I wonder how big would I be right now? Mm-hmm. And we just can't know.
Right. And, you know, I think sometimes, could I do alternate daily fasting? Could I really restrict more on what it is that I'm eating? I love to cook. I haven't mentioned that yet. So, but as I've, you know, reflect, I'm also unwilling to do some more extreme things at this point in my life, because I do enjoy cooking for my family. So I do want to go out with friends sometimes. So yes, there's more extreme things I could do if I really was like, I'm going to lose 20 pounds by XYZ. But I prefer a more like gentle approach and to just, you know, live my life and enjoy, because I am in great health otherwise. Like all of my markers are wonderful, which was also the frustrating thing about not losing the weight, is I'm like, I'm not insulin resistant. I'm not leptin resistant. I, you know, other than my B12 not hanging on, all my other levels were great. So, you know, when you're looking at yourself going, I'm very healthy.
Right.
But the weight is just not what I want it to be.
Well, you know, like you said, that the cultural pressure to be a certain size. And that puts the pressure on us in a way that, you know, your health markers are good. And that is really, really important.
Yes. But sometimes I wish something was wrong just so I would feel the pressure more to do something.
I get it. I get it.
I have no sense of urgency because I feel great.
I feel so good. I'm just hanging out here.
I just still want to look at pictures. You know, I just don't want to do that. But
you could push that window just a little later. Have you thought about that? Like a good 5-hour window?
Yes. And I have. And I do think I did mention that. I will say I've been tightening it up to 5.
Tighten it up.
Mostly at 6, you know, 6, 5 hours. And I do think that's causing.
I really do think that's for a lot for women, especially as we're older on the other side of menopause. I think that we do need a little bit more time in the fasted state to see that fat loss. You know, for me, it was 19.5. That was my weight loss. That's what I did, you know, most of the time when I was losing weight, 19.5. And just, I need that little bit more, you know, because we know, you know, I talk about this in Fast, Feast, Repeat, that fat burning ramps up after hour 16, after hour 18, but between 18 and 24 is when it's ramping up like it's steeper. The curve gets steeper during that 18 to 24 period of time. So that doesn't mean everybody has to fast to 24. You just want to have some of the time in that enhanced fat burning time, if fat loss is what you're looking for.
Yes. And I went back and read Bert Herring's appetite correction just this last month, just because a refresher and your delayed don't deny also, they're both in my Kindle and I just kind of go back and forth because though I've read them and I know what it says, it's such a good reminder and it's encouraging to know that, that it makes sense. Your body will do it. It knows what to do. You know, the trust factor is, is big there because you hear too many things. Like a lot of people would say to me, well, maybe you're not eating enough. You know, maybe that's why your metabolism is slow because you're not eating enough. And I thought, well, but aren't you supposed to live in a deficit to lose weight? So like, even if I wasn't eating enough, why am I not losing a pound?
If you're not eating enough, I mean, you would have to really be restricting. If someone is not eating enough, they would lose quickly and then they would slow and then they would stall. But not eating enough isn't going to keep you from losing at all. Right. Yeah.
I was like, I don't know what to say to that, but I think I eat fine. I eat to, you know, satiety. And then that, like many people have said, that the best part, one of the best parts of fasting is that you learn your body so much better.
What are some things you've learned about your body?
Well, just the things that make me feel good and don't make me feel good when I eat them, even if I love them, like cheese.
Yeah.
Just doesn't. I still do it sometimes, but now I definitely watch how much and when, because just I do think it's inflammatory to me.
It makes me puffy. I don't want to believe it.
Yeah. The wine, I still enjoy a glass, but a glass is all I can really do. If I do two or more, then it's not, I don't feel good. I can't sleep. And I'm not in a place in life where I'm willing to do that. It's not worth it. Right. I'll just not have a drink then, you know? So I've cut way back on even having alcohol, but when I do, I know now just one drink is good.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else? Just little things. Like you've said, if it's not window worthy, I'm not going to eat it. If it's just a little, there's a lot of candy in my office, for example, for teachers, we have a lot of chocolate and
all the time.
And they'll say, how can you sit with all this, you know, chocolate here? And I'm like, I don't really want it. But if I do, like on a random day, if I think I want a little piece of, you know, Kit Kat or something, I'll have it. But I just don't, even when I've had it lately, I don't finish it.
I don't like that kind of candy anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I used to love Reese's peanut butter cups. Ugh, don't love them.
I don't either. Yeah.
They were my favorite.
Right. I was excited about the pumpkin ones. It's October when we're recording this. So I was like, these are going to be delicious. And I bit into one last week and I literally threw it away because I was
shocked. Those tasted better for some reason. I don't know. Back in the day. Now I don't like them at all. But I would buy them on sale every year after Halloween and I would stash them in my closet up in the top. And then I would eat them over the course of however long it took to finish them. But then one year I just didn't buy them. I looked at them in Target and said, I'm like, that's weird. Didn't want them. Hadn't had one since, I don't think.
It's nice. It's really freeing.
It really is freeing. So the scale has just started moving, but you have no plans to stop intermittent fasting because it's just such a great way to live.
It is. And we have, in my family on both sides, we've had some Alzheimer's and dementia. Mm-hmm. And I just believe after all that I've read and listened to you and, you know, other experts, it's like, I just believe this is the solution. This is what we should be doing for our bodies. I'm reading all of the articles now about the type 2 diabetes drugs being used for weight loss. And I've read some in-depth articles about, you know, how it works, why it works. And all I can think is intermittent fasting does this for your body.
Yeah.
Like your body can do this. Now, I'm not judging anyone if for some reason that they needed that jump start, you know, whatever it does. I'm not a doctor, obviously. I don't know the whole reasons why somebody needs to take it. However, if it's just for weight loss, all I was thinking is your body does do these things without it.
Yeah, it's true. You know, everybody's always calling something or other nature's Ozempic. I think fasting is nature's Ozempic, right? Because we have appetite correction, that phrase that Bert Herring came up with. And we really do get in tune with what we need and what we don't need. And it just feels so natural. A lot more natural than the phenermine felt.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And then, you know, those things, it costs money and, you know, fasting's free. So it's wonderful.
Exactly. Exactly. So we are almost out of time.
Okay.
What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
I would say two things to keep in your head and say constantly are things that you teach. Hunger is not an emergency.
Yep.
And don't eat for future hunger in your fast, because it's not necessary, even though you might have some fear around getting hungry, but it's okay. And there's plenty of stored fat on your body that it can turn to if really needs, you know, some more energy. And then I guess I wish I had realized when I started what a mental game this is.
Yeah.
It's very much, or maybe just me because I'm an overthinker, but how much I would question, okay, am I eating enough, right? Mm-hmm. So is this the right thing? Are these hours, maybe I need a later window, earlier, you know, I went through a lot without just kind of relaxing into the process, mm-hmm. trusting what I knew to be true from what I had read, trusting my body that she knew what to do. And so get out of your head, I guess I could say that if possible, because you're going to go through all the what ifs and the fears because you've heard misinformation like, oh my gosh, I'm going to kill my metabolism. You know, all the things somebody, people tell you.
Somebody in the community said that, this was yesterday, a friend of theirs was reading a book, some diet book, and it said that if you don't eat within a certain amount of time of working out, your muscles will liquefy.
Oh, Lord.
I was like, well, by now, all my muscles should be liquid. I don't know.
Right.
I'm like, first of all, I don't think your muscles liquefy, but that made me laugh so hard. I'm doing Tai Chi now, Allison. I'm doing Tai Chi every day.
Good for you.
My muscles are not liquefying amazingly.
No.
Pretty darn strong. But yeah, you will hear crazy things out there.
And on a bad day, if you're having a bad day and you're doubting the process, then it's, you might believe something crazy.
Well, I don't want my muscles to liquefy.
really?
Have a brownie. I don't know.
Right. Or I need one of those, you know, programs that's for fasting that's going to help, or you know, something. I just, you know, so my brain has, that's been a challenge, is to get over the mental hurdles.
Right. Yeah. And the person who posted in the community did not believe your muscles would liquefy, by the way. She was just sharing an example of some of the information out there that
are truly afraid. They really are.
I've got some great calf muscles that I have built jumping on my little mini rebounder. My calves are
I need to get one of those.
You do. Oh, it's so fun. And it's good for your pelvic floor.
Okay. I need a vibration plate too.
I love my rebounder though, because that you really, if you can jump on a rebounder at our age, or you know, in your 40s and 50s and beyond, then you have got a strong pelvic floor. So that's my secret weapon going forward.
That's for sure.
See, everybody, you learn more than just fasting.
Absolutely.
Well, Allison, it has been so great to talk to you today. Tell Rebecca I said hello, and I can't wait to hear. Please keep me posted. Let me know how you're doing if this downward trend keeps going.
Yes. Thank you so much, Jen.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 65th National Finals of Distinguished Young Women.
Every year, one girl from every state leaves her family, her whole life behind, for 2 weeks and spends each day training, practicing, preparing. Because to win this competition, she needs to wow a panel of judges with her academic record, her athletic ability,
her speaking skills, and a show-stopping talent.
I met her and I was like, she's gonna win.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
When I sing that song about being a Black woman in America, there's gonna be backlash about that.
Oh, I'm just so happy. So happy.
I don't want to see them. I don't want to talk to them.
And then we stayed with them for the next year, unpacking just what happened those 2 weeks in Mobile. I'm Shimo Liai, and from Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.